It's Sunday, which means it's time for Viewpoint Presents with Malcolm and Michael Johns. Each week, we bring you the top global and national news stories presented with facts and top-tier analysis, all from a perspective rooted in America's founding principles. Join us in defending our great nation and American liberty. Now, here's Malcolm and Michael with the week's top stories.
So let's talk and start this conversation off today with the state of the election. What is the state of the election? Well, it depends what you're watching, what you're reading, and or listening to. You know, and as I've been telling you in days past, I think a lot of people live in these echo chambers, and that's part of the danger we have in our country right now, is sometimes we're blocked into only those thoughts around us, and we're not open to what other people are talking about and doing. But I think more than that, there's a big danger out here everybody needs to understand, and that is the agenda of, well, more than just you're seeing the latest with the Facebook, the Twitter, the tech giants, but even Amazon, I've been reporting what they've been up to, and all these tech giants have got their hand heavy, heavy on the scale here. They are doing everything in their mighty abilities to block this campaign and block the Trump campaign from any kind of movement or motion. And I got proof. I'm going to show you right now in the show here. So big program here ahead, as well as, the question I want you to be thinking about is America headed for a catastrophic election crisis? Serious implications there of things we've been talking to you about with the mail-in ballot voting and the ballot harvesting and all the funny business going on there. And then the national security risk of this latest Biden business, and many people are calling it the Biden crime family. It's funny how all of a sudden that's become a bigger talking point than the Clinton group there. I don't know. It's amazing. Welcome to Viewpoint Presents here. It is Malcolm along with Michael Johns and State of Election. Wow. We are here. You know, I seen a message, Michael, that came in to me that read this way here. Just as a sample of what's destroying America, go on over to ABC News with a link and CBS News with a link. It's scary that they are allowed to just flat out lie. It's like the old USSR. And, you know, I don't really go to the legacy network websites a lot. I don't know if you do or listeners do. I just don't get there much. If it's in my news feed, I might see what they're doing, but it's not a go-to place for me, just as much as I don't watch their 6 o'clock news broadcast anymore. But I went ahead over to these websites, and I have to tell you, Michael, it is stunning when you see the agenda in pure daylight of how these people are. And I'll get into some particulars in a minute as to what I'm thinking here, of how corrupt it all is. But this bias, along with the tech giants and what we're seeing now in the legacy media, is it's so blatant. I mean, I've never seen anything like this. I'm not sure how we ever get back from this. In fact, I asked that up front in the first hour with Cheryl Atkinson. I don't know how we ever get back with this, Michael. Do you have a clue as to how far we got off the beaten path and how we ever get back?
Firstly, hello, Malcolm. Good to be back with you. Episode 13. Hopefully there's no bad luck on this one. I am of the increasing opinion that these institutions that have become so profoundly part of the progressive agenda ideologically and part of the Democrat agenda politically are almost certainly beyond resuscitation, recuperation, or salvation. And I think that's the opinion of those whose judgment I most trust on these issues. I think the more important question that we have to ponder, because it points to the go-forward strategy for Americans who want, who do not want to see such biases in our institutions, is how did this happen in such a uniform way? Meaning, you know, it almost requires a plan, doesn't it? I mean, it's just when you, if you learn journalism in college, yeah, you come out, you get into media, you begin reporting on things, you're taught about objectivity, you're taught about, you know, double or triple sourcing statements, fact checking. Then you assume these positions in these corporate media operations and the cult, you know, knowing a lot of these people, and having had these conversations with them in these media outlets, they don't really have to be told like what to do or how to do it. It's not like they sit around and plot it. I mean, they're just all with the same mindset. They predominantly have many similar backgrounds, schools they went to, areas of the country they grew up in. They're very disengaged from what you might call flyover area territory in the country. I've spent very little time there. Don't know much about it. Which is why it's, you know, maybe shocking if you're spending your time in Manhattan and, you know, in D.C., if you are really looking at the country objectively.
Right now, as I talk to you, Michael, I want to get your opinion on what we're looking at. And anybody can do this with me as well here. But if, for instance, Michael, go to CBSNews.com. I'm looking at it right now. Let's give a real bird's eye view here to listeners of what we're dealing with here. Just hear me out a minute here, because I think this cements the point forward. I mean, we're talking national network news here, Michael. And the reference point that people have been saying to me in the past week or two that I've been hearing a lot is, oh, my God, like, we're almost getting to be like the old USSR, where they, you know, or it's like a state-run media program. It's run by the big tech people here. Listen to some of these headlines. And this is for real. So I'm on CBS News right now. So as an example, Intel community fears Russia targeted Giuliani. Intel community fears Russia targeted Giuliani to discredit Biden. I mean, so that's as far as they go with the whole Biden thing. They go ahead and what they always do, they flip the deck and they say, oh, it's Giuliani that and they put the headline Intel community fears Russia. Really a stroke of brilliance, Michael, how you take a Biden crime family deal, you know, the national security implications of something we'll talk about a little bit after here, and you pin it on the Giuliani and the Intel community fear in that. I mean, you just think about that. And as you keep going through CBS News, to give you an example here, Trump was warned Giuliani was target of Russian disinformation is right there. Is an example here. Vote like Trump's campaign embraces mail-in voting and ad blitz. They're going against, again, anything that Trump is for, they're against here. And as I look down a little bit further here, let's see, Biden draws higher ratings than Trump in dueling town halls. I've seen a lot of headlines to that, and you've probably seen them as well, Michael, right?
Yes.
And a lot of that is because, I mean, and it probably was the case, because I think a lot of people were curious if he could put three words together. We already knew Trump, what he would be after. But I think a lot of people, and probably on the right, went over there to see what, but they took that as some sort of victory and spun it accordingly. And it just goes on and on from there.
I mean, absolutely. Look, I think you're more, I think you have it more accurate. The ratings on those two were probably more reflective of the fact that the president's message has been very consistent,
yeah,
a little bit predictable. He's spoken in great terms about the incredible successes of the first 3 years in the economy and the foreign policy, national security. I mean, all of these topics are just indisputable. And I think the management of the pandemic, as much as deadly and as costly as it's been, has been well done. I think American people knew what they would get in Trump. With Biden, I think you raised the question of, yes, you know, just for starters, does he know where he is? Does he know what day it is? Does he know that he's a candidate for president of the United States? Those are legitimate questions based on past statements that he's made. And secondly, the emergence, obviously, yeah, this Hunter Biden scandal. And I think in anticipation that you would have some questioning presented to Biden on it. And of course, the topic never even came up, which is, again, just evidence of omission bias beyond, you know, really beyond description and words. Incredible disservice to the American voter.
Oh, my golly.
I understand this.
This is incredible disservice, Michael. I mean, we're seeing something, like I said, we really have never seen this to this degree. I mean,
it's different. Here's what's different. We got our side now. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, and I really, you know, I come back to the Tea Party movement a lot because I think that's where it all changed. I mean, that's where we, you know, all of a sudden tens upon tens of millions of Americans knew and understood all these things that you and I are discussing. They knew that the media had a partisan alignment and an ideological alignment, and they ceased expecting objectivity from them. And they became disbelieving in it, which I think is actually a very dangerous development in the country. As you said, I mean, I've been to the former Soviet Union during the Cold War. That was one of my first questions to people over there. I go, what's it kind of like, if you don't mind me asking, you know, to not be able to have access to any real information that's going on. Mm-hmm. And as you suggested, I never would have anticipated a few decades later I'd be in the United States describing a situation that's not terribly dissimilar. I don't think it's quite reached that point, because at least we do have outlets that are you know, seeking to fill the gap that's emerging. It's certainly creating, and it's an, you know, there's an industry dimension as well. As I think it's creating an enormous commercial opportunity for all kinds of outlets that are emerging to provide what they're ceasing to provide.
Well, this is a game changer.
They're losing viewers. I mean,
this is a game changer, though. But there. Listen, what you're talking about right there is not terribly optimistic, because we're talking years down the road. I mean, I'm talking right now in the immediate moment. We are screwed, right, Michael? Screwed. Okay, because between all of the tech giants and the legacy media, they have one position, and that is to get Trump out of office. And we've seen that right along. But let me get over to ABC News. Listen to a couple of these here. Neo-Nazi and Proud Boys groups push Trump campaign poll watching online. What they're doing is they're planting the seed everywhere they possibly can. Now, the only thing they have out here on ABC News is the Joe Biden town hall. They're promoting, they've got all these little snippets of how fabulous Biden did at the town hall. And they have all these other stories that mock the GOP or mock anything to do with Trump whatsoever. Trump not denouncing Q and not denouncing white supremacy again, with all of that on the NBC business. They've got stories about that. They've got stories all negative, negative, negative. And then even on NBC News, it's the same thing. And it's all in your face. I mean, it's Republicans, distraction. It's everything. You know, Republicans try to distract America.
And attempting to establish and determine what will and will not be discussed in the final 2 weeks of this campaign. I mean, the issue of...
Well, it's not just the last few weeks, though. This has been right along.
But I'm saying no one is out there talking about Proud Boys. I mean, I don't even know what it is. I'm as involved as anyone can be. I don't know any members.
I didn't either.
I don't know. Yeah. But I've heard allegations that they are race. I mean, what's it got, three members? I don't know what it is. The president doesn't know what it is. I know that for a fact. Most people I've spoken to in the administration don't know what it is. Why are we talking about them? Can you answer that question?
Well, you can't, like I said, none of this is there any reason or rhyme to it. And look at, I mean, this is so bad. What's that?
I actually do believe there is a design behind it. I think there is an appreciation that the more you press this president to have to keep talking and repeatedly denouncing racism, the more you raise, especially in the eyes of maybe a low information voter, the possibility that he is racist.
All right, that's been done already.
You know, this guy's track record going all the way back decades is one of being embraced by African American leaders. You and I have talked about policy accomplishments that he's had for African Americans, and he's pointedly and now repeatedly denounce these groups with which he has no affiliation.
But they've already accomplished what you say there. That's done. That's over with. I mean, what you just said, that was done, my golly, years ago, for real. I mean, listen, my point is, they've already pushed all this. They've got Trump branded with a good part of the population as a racist, white supremacist, xenophobic. They have him branded already to what you call low information voters or whatever.
Have you ever pointedly asked someone who actually, because I run into people who believe that. Have you ever asked them examples or any evidence? I mean, because, you know, I kind of start with the fact that especially in this moment in American history, but really at any moment, that's a really poisonous and serious allegation to make against someone. If you weren't a public figure, it would probably constitute a libelous allegation.
What's
the basis?
Well, none of this is about basis. You're always logical, and you always think that way. And
I know the answer. I'm just simply saying.
I know you don't. You know,
I mean, the issue is if you're out there and somehow you got that idea in your mind, you know, you got to realize there's no basis for that. Zero basis. Not even suggestive evidence of it.
Well, everybody should know, once you keep putting something out there, you if you put a lie out there enough, it becomes a fact of life. It becomes what people remember or what they know. It's called branding. I mean, it's a marketing technique that companies have done against other companies, in fact, in the corporate world. It's done in the political circles a lot. For instance, on NBC News, who had him for that town hall where, Samantha Guthrie there was debating him. It wasn't a town hall. She debated the president there. Just to give you an example, Michael, under their stories in the top front of their page here, listen to this a minute here. Republicans tried to distract America from Trump's COVID chaos. They failed. I was Obama's White House photographer. Here's what I knew the moment I met Trump. And then you click on that. And it's our president lies to us every day about the little things and big things. He disses allies and calls the press the enemy of the people. That is wrong. Supposedly, this is the photographer. So this is the narrative of the news. And no matter where you look on these pages of these legacy network news operations, it is all about how did they get to the point, Michael, in our nation where there was nothing, there's no equality of news here whatsoever. How did they get to a point where they could hate one candidate so much and where they could put their hands so heavy on a scale over here that it just blows everything out of the water and they become spokes outlets for the DNC and the Biden campaign? How did we get to this point? I mean, it's crazy what's going on here. I mean, we've never seen
it. Yeah, I was kind of raising the same question. I mean, it's an unanswered question. Anyone who says definitively they know how it can be done so comprehensively is probably not being honest. I do think that you start with the fact that there's a cultural dynamic to it, meaning they describe conservatism and conservatives without knowing, without having, ever having read anything, you know, related to conservatism, without having really known conservatives. They cover Trump without really knowing Trump. And then you look at where do they spend their time. You know, it's this bubble, as you said at the beginning, that is very ideologically progressive. And, you know, it's a niche group of people that at the end of the day, their philosophy is basically, yeah, but behind closed doors, these guys are probably really racists. I mean, that's, I think, what they really do believe. And of course, I can tell you, in over three decades of having done this in the federal government, in the White House, in the largest conservative think tank in the world, in a conservative media outlet, in major Fortune 500 private sector organizations, and in the largest conservative grassroots movement in American history, I have never once had anyone that I have addressed or been speaking with who's ever been suggestive of that. And just the opposite, the conversations have always been about how do we make sure that we're as open as possible to and as inclusive as possible.
Everybody in America, I mean, whether they admit it or not, Michael, has got to be aware of what's taking place here and how bad it all is. And to some people, they say that could really put out a point of a sympathy vote as well, if that's even possible. It's possible, I guess, for the Trump campaign.
Oh, of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, the silence that you hear out there on our side, which might seem questioning, it's just the rage building in the American people preparing for November 3. That's the
well
day
said.
Battle will be fought. And every one of these little issues, including the social media censorship, which, by the way, I mentioned on Voice of a Nation, this radio show last week, that it appeared to represent an in-kind contribution. Mm-hmm. As you might recall.
That's right.
And I am very pleased to see the Republican National Committee has acted on that and filed a lawsuit against Twitter alleging that they, with the FEC complaint, that they're acting with illegal in-kind corporate.
We'll take a quick pause here. And what we'll do now is, here's the big question to ask yourself in the meantime, are we headed for a catastrophic election crisis? Now, there's a lot of components to that. And we've been touching on these stories right along for the past weeks and months here. But the mail-in ballot, it really is, many would say, turning into a potential crisis. And there are reasons why, and there are other things happening. What does that really mean come November 3rd? We'll pick that up next, friends, on Viewpoint Presents, just after the pause.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
My fellow Americans, you've watched for decades as radical Marxists have systematically taken over some of our nation's most cherished institutions. Well, AmericaOutloud.com is fighting back with one of the fastest growing conservative media networks in the world, featuring some of the nation's most influential experts and commentators. Join us. We're in this together, and we consider you part of our family in our crusade to share the news, commentary, and agenda that can lead America back again. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
American Democracy in Action. Viewpoint presents Election 2020.
So many are calling it a crisis, a catastrophe, looming, maybe. And I, you hate to sometimes say that up front with something to think you're predicting or the master of doom and gloom here. It's not like I wake up every morning, guys, and say, oh, my God, you know, what's going to happen here? I mean, it's not really that way. But, you know, when you start to see these stories, you know, Michael, early on in the other hour, I talked about this latest one. I don't know, in the last day, I think it was late Friday or something. Yeah, so they found in Jefferson County, they were found in the trash there. And so then they said, well, we bet they were somehow found their way into a construction site of some sort. What the hell is going on with these mail-in ballots or these sort of ballots or ballot harvesting where they're getting all these ballots, grouping them together, and we're finding them in the most unlikely places? And then a lot of these things are going to be filled out and sent in because they're not even checking anything. They're just, you know, most states you can drop off a ballot from somebody and it counts. That just tells you right now this thing is primed for corruption. And we're seeing it right now. What do you think? What are you seeing, Michael, with this?
Well, I mean, there's no doubt that when you're dealing with mail-in ballots, that you have a larger possibility of there being fraud or human error. And, you know, we saw these really definitive, speaking of media bias, these really definitive pieces that have come out over the last 6 months, basically saying, oh, there's no evidence of fraud. There's no evidence that any of these, that this has all gone great. It's swimmingly. It's just, you know, it's some agenda by conservatives to whatever, discourage people from voting or something, you know. And it seems like every week you and I return with just more and more examples of how wrong that is. Here's the latest. This is in California. 400,000, right, ballots sent to people who moved or were deceased. Now, Donald Trump won the 2016 election, you could argue, by about 80,000 votes in three states. That if they'd gone the other way, he well could have lost that. There's been cases in Ohio. It's been cases in Pennsylvania. It's been cases in Wisconsin, all key battleground states. And the concern is when you look at what Democrats are really seeking, what do they want in this election? They want two things predominantly. Number one, if they could have this entire election just done exclusively by mail-in voting, that's how they would want it done. Why? That's interesting when you have all this history of these errors and governments' inability, secretaries of state
almost acknowledge the inability to handle this magnitude of mail-in voting. And then second is they're seeking vast extension times after November 3 to count the votes. Yeah. So, for instance, there was a case that the Trump campaign appropriately took to court in Michigan this past week, arguing against affording them roughly 2 weeks after the election to count ballots. Now, why would you want that? The reason is it gives you the time to go out and identify other possible voting discrepancies or controversies or find people who can even make false allegations and bring other cases in the court, right? So if you say, hey, we're 50,000 votes short in Michigan and we got 2 weeks to find 50,001 votes, it's not implausible that you just start filing lawsuits all over the place.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, you know what I really one topic we haven't talked about related to very directly related to this. One thing that really bothers me immensely, and this is just so far away from any ideological or partisan statement, but you know, I really have spent most of my life defending the American system of government and our democratic political system and our constitution and our rule of law. And I've devoted a good portion of my life and career to trying to help resolve other countries' challenges with those precise issues. I feel like we've reached a point, and it probably started heavily in the Obama administration, when we have begun, in the eyes of most of the world, to have lost a lot of credibility on these key issues. You know, so if I go out and say, hey, China should be having free and fair elections. They shouldn't have a president for life appointed by a bunch of guys behind a closed door. That's not the way government should operate. The rebuttal now is, look at your own system. Look how broken it is. They would cite these same statistics, 400,000 ballots just mailed out to dead people and people that aren't even at those residences. Come on. And the problem is that message starts to become convincing to some around the world. I'm talking outside of the United States. And it takes the whole world in a negative direction. We want accountable governments, and we want autonomy for countries. I think that's the conservative global agenda. And we're facing a movement that doesn't particularly care what the how the political structure is put together and wants to see governments' autonomy dissolved and wants to see a lot of their authority put in these international institutions. Okay.
The mail-in ballot catastrophe, really, to me, is another insurance policy. That's what the left is using it as. It's an insurance policy. If we look at the history of what they've done and how they played all the games they played over the past 4 years now, we can say, they always, you know, they won up what they did last. They won up it. And they're always looking for the next big shoe to drop. And I think what's happened here, when you questioned moments ago and you said, well, with the mail-in ballot, why would they, or it is kind of strange that they would want to do all that, and considering that it is prime for problems and it's suspect to have some real the criminality factor. Well, what I would say back is it is clearly an insurance policy because, yeah, absolutely. When they get to the November 3rd, if they don't have the result that they want, they need an insurance policy, which goes back to what Nancy Pelosi has been suggesting on camera, that under no circumstances or consideration should Joe Biden ever concede the election. He should never concede the election, is what she has stated time and time again. But let me get to another point here that bridges on what I'm talking about here. She's done that. Now, that you tie that in, this is the insurance policy they need. So when you say, well, are they going to count the votes? What's going to happen after the election? How many trunks will they be looking in? How many contracting construction ground? How many more boxes of ballots are they fine to turn those races over? Well, here you go. So let's give some facts here. So out of the states here, we're talking, I think it's about nine states plus D.C. actually. What they did in those states is they mailed a ballot to every registered voter. Now, you think about that, Michael, with you're talking that's a big part of our country, nine states and D.C. And you send those, again, ballots out to everybody. Every voter gets one, whether you're alive or dead or whatever state you're in, you're on the rolls there. You're going to get one. And what does that mean? Well, what it means is you now have millions and millions and millions upon millions of ballots that could come back in all kinds of ways. Talk about ballot harvesting or ballot fraud or ballot whatever, which plays to the story you just said in California with the 400,000 and all these. But, you know, so you've got a big piece of the country that is going that way. And then you've got all these other things that are happening. And to me, Michael, this is just nothing more than an insurance policy. They've made it very clear they will not tolerate or put up with a Trump presidency for the second term. They didn't want it the first time. They've never accepted this president. To this moment of time, they haven't. And it pains them to say President Trump, his name, right out in the open. It pains them. That's how much they despise this current president. Right. So,
and we're not talking about the record of President Trump and his successes. We're not talking about the fact that Biden has, as far as I can tell, really not seriously one constructive or creative idea for this country. So we're talking about, Proud Boys, whatever that is. I think people that made the argument for mandatory required mail-in voting with a straight face even get up and defend their policies of allowing these street protests and riots, protests that turned into riots, go on, never broke that up. They never had any public health concerns about that.
That's right.
You know, I dealt with the lawsuit out in Nevada. Those casinos have some restrictive measures. I don't think you can be smoking in the casino right now, and there's maybe some distancing, but they're open. You can go to Harrah's, but you can't go to vote.
Yeah, well, you put it, you said
it. How is a straight face, do you get up and defend those policies?
Well, they do. They do.
That managing a fewer number of people in a much smaller location is much.
Yeah, but you're trying to be logical again. You're trying to be logical now. What you should know, you can't be logical at this point.
The point of pointing out that everything's become politicized. Like, we can't apparently just do things because they're the right things to do.
It has to fit their agenda. It has to fit their narrative.
No reason, in my judgment, as far as I nor have I seen any evidence of it, that we cannot have regular voting on November 3rd.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, please. In addition to what I just said about those nine in the D.C., there are like 26 states, I believe, is what it is that allow ballot harvesting. Meaning, and let me simplify that for anybody if you have any questions what that is. It just means that you could have a ballot, a legitimate ballot for a neighbor or somebody you want to be so kind and drop that off at the poll. Okay, cool. Very cool. Or you could pick one up off the street or in a mailbox or at a construction site or in a back alley or wherever. You could also drop that off and say, okay, cool. I mean, that's ballot harvest. And there's no way to know the credibility or the validity of those ballots to know how secure they are. And then they want illegals to vote and they don't want IDs and then all of this here. So you look at all of that, Michael, and how prime it is for corruptness. And then you have to know that you say, well, why do they want that? Well, that's the insurance policy they use on the left, because I think they know they're at risk of losing. And I think what nobody's really talking about here, Michael, but I am here. I think the left realizes at this moment of time, and this is probably a big statement, but I think they recognize internally, they're never going to say this in out loud like I am right now, but I think they truly, truly realize, Michael, that they are so far removed from the mainstream of America when it comes to basic, just common sense policies, that I think they know in their heart they've lost most of America. Most of America is red. I think they know they've lost it.
Biden could be out with the people right now. Biden could be out doing 4 or 5 events a day in two or three states a day. Yeah. Why is he not doing that? He's not doing it because he doesn't resonate with them. People are not showing up to hear him. They're not interested in him. And quite honestly, he has nothing to say. All right? He's going to raise your taxes. He already told you that. He's going to increase regulations. He told you that. He's going to get us back into all these flawed global agreements. He told you that. Even listen to his advertisements about what he's going to do on the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I'm going to listen to the science, mandatory masks. None of these things are innovative.
No, you're right.
You know, and
I complimented Biden. I would compliment him and his campaign, Michael. I compliment Biden and his campaign. You know why? And I said it earlier, they are doing incredible. In other words, Biden has never been a closely choreographed candidate. He is a loose cannon all his life. And in his entire campaign, his entire political life, 47 years, the guy is a loose cannon. All of a sudden, they have him so closely orchestrated. It's amazing what they're doing right now.
Well, look
now.
At the image. Let me just quickly run through. I was thinking about this today. Yeah. You go through he's spending about, what, $400 million a month roughly on campaign expenses, and you assume that'll go up now. The reporting we haven't seen recently, but I'd say it's, half a billion a month. It's a lot of money, right? What is the image he's trying to foster? One of the main issues is he's just like you. He's Joe from Scranton. Mm. He hasn't been in Scranton in 70 years, over 7 decades. He's just like you. He's an average middle-income guy. No, he's
average
not.
Joe.
He's a
average
multi-millionaire
Joe. Yeah.
Worth millions who has leveraged his political
for his family.
Half a century in the swamp, almost exclusively, it now appears, for the financial gain of his Biden Incorporated family. And it's not just Hunter either. It goes much deeper than that. So, and honestly, you do not hear from him, because if you were, as someone who is, I'm conservative, but also a professional on political messaging, if you did have a major accomplishment in 47 years, you'd be talking about it every day.
Yeah, big time.
You'd be
big
drilling
time.
It home. I did this. I did this.
Well, yeah. I mean, that should be very clear to people. He doesn't
one of
have
his
any
biggest
of that.
Messages is that he is somehow going to better manage the pandemic than Trump will,
right.
And you and I.
Well, that's all he's doing right now. He's using COVID. They've been doing that right along.
This is. I would encourage listeners to dig this up, and I think this needs broader circulation. There's a guy named Ron Klein. He was a very senior aide to Biden, and Biden was involved in the management of the swine flu, which was an absolute colossal disaster. This is what Ron Klein said. This is not me. We did every possible thing wrong. Mm-hmm. It is purely a fortuity that this isn't one of the great mass casualty events in American history. Okay. So if you're voting for Biden because you think he's going to be better positioned after opposing the travel ban and mismanaging this much more modest swine flu, which was not as contagious and not nearly as deadly, and still ended up with almost half a million cases and 12,000 dead, and his own aides saying that they mismanaged not a little bit of it, not made a few errors, not could have done a better job. We did every possible thing wrong. It is purely a fortuity that this isn't one of the great mass casualty events in American history.
Yeah.
That's his own AIDS.
Yeah. And I hear you. It's an interesting point, but it's not going to go anywhere. So it's to me, that point is irrelevant. And I've heard you say it a couple of times, and not being disrespectful, but America doesn't care about that. I mean, I'm saying
America doesn't know it. America doesn't know who Ron Klein is. America's not hearing Ron Klein's.
And the point of the success and the point that it would not have been a success at all, it would have been a worse mass casualty event. I don't believe they care. I don't think they're buying it. And it has been talked about. I've heard people bring that up or try to, but it's completely disarmed and thrown away from the left and the media. What I'm saying is that's not going to work, that argument. The public is not going to buy that. I don't believe it.
It just seems like there's some very vague adjectives that they're trying to throw on the president.
Definitely.
One is this idea that he's a dictator. I mean, is there anything more absurd than that? I mean, this guy's been checked. His power's been checked every step of the way.
That's right.
Courts, by Congress, by the bureaucracy. Just the opposite. We've never had a president who's had such a mandate to go do some sweeping and bold things. He's encountered so much institutional resistance.
Yeah. So, when I start here and I talk about, is America headed for a catastrophic election crisis? Michael, we talk about the potential, as we just pointed out, and this last segment here about the mail-in ballots and the ballot harvester and all these challenges and what I really call an insurance policy more so. You know, when you go back at 2016 campaign, back in what happened in 2015 and 2016, when Donald Trump pulled off the unthinkable, I mean, really was, you can't even put this into context. It's almost like you short sell this, Michael, by saying it was a historical election or a historical moment. It doesn't even do it justice for what happened in 2016. But let me bring it back to the battleground, and it's an interesting documentary to tell folks about. If you didn't hear me in the first hour, talk about it, and we'll talk about the directors and producers who were on this. But Michael, you were involved in this with the Tea Party back in at that campaign in Lehigh Valley, which was the epicenter, Northampton County and Lehigh County, but Northampton particularly, and where these were areas that voted for Obama and they flipped to Trump and got Pennsylvania to flip over. He was trying to get them to flip. You know, Pennsylvania was 20 electoral votes in order to, there was no way. I mean, that was a signature moment when Pennsylvania fell for President Trump that night. I remember it clearly, Michael, on the third. We thought, oh my golly, he's got this. It was just the signal that happened. I don't remember the hour of the night, but it wasn't too late that happened, as I remember, Michael, right? Pennsylvania trip. Right. It was a reasonable time. And I thought, wow, Pennsylvania. It's like, we didn't expect that, you know, but a lot of this comes to Northampton County. And then there's this amazing movie, which you're in. I want to tell listeners now, and you're on stage there as part of the Tea Party and what you were doing in Lehigh Valley. The movie's called Battleground. It's just been released on PBS stations. It's also streaming. You can get the links, by the way, to get the movie to stream on AmericaOutloud.com. Just go Sunday afternoon to the Viewpoint a post, if you will, Michael, let me tell listeners, and the links will be in there to go watch this movie. And it's really cool. It's for the directors and producers of this, Michael LaJona Markowitz and Hamal Trivedi. Two fantastic pieces that were on Viewpoint the first hour here on the program. But tell folks about your involvement in this, please. Take a minute and tell folks, because you're in that movie and you're speaking on stage there in Lehigh Valley, and was a pretty remarkable moment then, huh?
I guess I got to see this movie. You have seen it. I have not. I am looking forward to seeing it. They showed up at Lehigh Valley Tea Party event, which is one of hundreds of Tea Party organizations created out of this movement that we started in 2009. Mm-hmm. I made the point there. I grew up in that area of the country. And so I'm very immensely familiar with it. In fact, one of the first things I ever did politically was to work for the congressman for that district. It is, if you can remember back to 92, remember James Carville described Pennsylvania. He said it's Philadelphia and Pittsburgh with Alabama in between. And yes. Whether you like that or don't like that description, what he was saying is, hey, look, Philly and Pittsburgh are pretty heavily D-oriented from a registration standpoint. The middle ground is kind of very conservative. So where are the real swing areas? And those guys, to their credit, and I don't know them, but they identified correctly that the Lehigh Valley, which is about halfway between Philadelphia and New York City, is one of those areas that is undeniably very split, pretty 50-50. It's winnable, and it's critical that the president do well there, and also in some of the Philadelphia suburbs and Pittsburgh suburbs.
Yeah, it's a measure.
Are really key for him to win Pennsylvania, which I believe is probably nearly essential to get to 270 electoral votes. Those are critical areas.
And, you know, I can relate to Carville saying that back in the 90s, actually. And everybody considered PA, in the blue. And, you know, one last point, Michael, on this. It's kind of funny to remind listeners that you have more PA blood in you than Joe Biden has, huh?
That's right. I want to point out Joe Biden has been in Scranton 70 years.
Exactly.
He doesn't
exactly.
know any of those places I know exactly. there. He couldn't find the clubs, the bars, the restaurants, or anything. I know them all.
Now, here we go. And see that? My colleague and co-host here, Michael, he knows PA. He has more PA blood in him than Biden. So for the record, folks, so that you know that. So anyways, enough on that. But anyways, check out the movie, Battleground. The directors and producers are very cool people, Jonah and Hamal. And they are, again, they're you hear that interview. It's on the first hour of Viewpoint here. Go listen to that as well, and you'll hear them. Very, very cool. Great program. Watch the movie, and the link is right there in the Viewpoint post. So we'll take a quick pause. We'll be back and talk about this national security risk, which Michael appropriately pointed out just a few days ago on The Voice of a Nation, my daily show in America Out Loud Talk Radio. And he pointed out, you know, Malcolm, it's one thing to talk politics, sure. How about it's another thing to talk about our national security, because nobody was really talking about it at that point, because it's become a political ping pong game, as everything else is, right? We'll pause a moment. We'll be back with more Viewpoint Presents just after this.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, healthycell.com/sleep.
Yeah, so one of the major implications of this whole, what people are now referring to as the Biden crime family, and I know that sounds a little odd, but you know, I have to tell you, when you look at a lot of the evidence and a lot of the emails and the real, you know, real facts that we're looking at right now, Michael, from this major scandal, which dwarfs everything else we've ever been talking about here, and that the media is totally ignoring and everybody else is ignoring, there's one big underlying point to this whole thing. And you pointed it out to me just a few days back here, and it is the national security risk that is in play here based on all this, you know, all that emails, Michael, all that stuff. Let me ask you this here. Isn't it safe to say that all that data, all that information, whatever was talked about or done that's on those hard drives is certainly in the hands of China and Russia and Ukraine and probably in other areas as well, would you say?
Yeah, very good chance of that. They have immensely sophisticated intel operations, and I think that's a good bet. It's also in the hands of the FBI, which is appropriate, not disparaging that. But, you know, these really, you know, like we're 2 weeks away from having to make a decision on a candidate. And I raised with you, I think for the first time, because I hadn't heard it at the time, and I kind of went out there with you in speculating that I think this is the case, and it looks like a lot of people are starting to agree, that when you have this magnitude of money involved for so little amount of effort on his part, and a whole bunch of unanswered questions with additional travel that we don't even know about yet, that he has compromised his father's ability to conduct foreign policy and to defend the security interests of this country, because we don't know what they have on them or what, if any, promises have been made in exchange for this.
So let me ask you, how do they continue to keep the lid on this, do you think? I mean, we're now closing in so much. What I'm getting a sense, they see the clock ticking on one side of the room, Michael, okay? And on the other side, they see the calendar, and they see the days ticking to the third. They're just trying to get to the finish line, and they're limping. And then you've got on the other side of the room, you've got the Biden campaign and the candidate, which is being closely, very closely monitored and orchestrated, the entire thing, which I pointed out earlier in the program. Taking into consideration all of that, what happens with this? What's your gut? Are they successful between now and the 3rd of November? And I'm talking all the legacy media, the national media, the social media. Are they successful with doing what they've done up to this point right now and keeping a lid on this major national blowout scandal story?
Well, the definitive answer, obviously, is we don't know. If you support Trump, you got to get out and vote. But let me just say this. And this is pretty well informed insider information. The criticism that we've leveled at these polls is oversampling Democrats and oversampling suburban Republicans at the expense of rural Republicans, and of not surveying whether or not people intended to vote, just putting everyone in there, is a known secret to everyone involved. I believe the White House press corps, the people that are covering Trump on a daily basis, many of these people who I know, are acutely aware that Biden, if he even has a lead, this is not a settled election by any means. The president has a complete ability to win this election. His story is strong. The polls are, I think, unfortunately, an extension of the institutional bias in these media outlets. And I think there's an element of fear and desperation on their part. And Hunter Biden hasn't helped things. And unfortunately, you can't blame Hunter Biden, because this is an entire family operation.
That's right.
That goes all the way back 47 years to a guy who appears to see public service as an opportunity to trade his positional authority for financial payoffs for his family. And when that's done in any capacity, it's dangerous, threatening, and often illegal. When it's done with hostile powers, including the two biggest challenges that we face in global security issues, China and Russia, where he has taken in tens upon tens of millions of dollars, it now appears, there's issues. And I will tell you also that Rudy Giuliani has... his attorney has this laptop, says we've only seen about 5% of what's...
That's right. That's right.
Presented.
Yeah. Well, what do you want to call it? But the single biggest reason the national media and all of the media, I mean, it's everything, full throttle across the board, that they're holding this information back is that they really, truly find Donald Trump a threat to their way of life, Michael. And I think that's a point we should not lose sight of. When you think of the risk and you think of where we're at right now, and you realize none of them are excited about a Biden presidency, there isn't a damn one of them I've seen, anybody, that has any level of excitement. When you see the enthusiasm and the excitement nationally at the rallies and the points of the air, and then you see what's going on with Biden, it doesn't exist. So the only thing I can say to you, Michael, is they see Donald J. Trump as a major threat to their way of life.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, and the issue is there is an obligation right now for full disclosure about every single financial transaction that has occurred between foreigners and the Biden family, and what the terms of those were, when they were conducted, what, if anything, has been done. Bo Erickson at CBS News is one of the reasonably credible mainstream media reporters that you don't see that often. He, to his credit, was the only one so far who pointedly asked Biden what he had to say about the Hunter Biden emails and revelations. His response was, "I have no response. Another smear campaign." Well, and then he disparages Bo. But the issue is, well, what part of it is a smear campaign? Are you denying that the emails are authenticated? Because I can guarantee you right now they have been authenticated by individuals I know associated with Fox News, with those with one individual who is on that email chain. So they're real. Now, if Joe Biden believes they're part of a smear campaign and not real, he's got to say that. Is he saying that these financial entanglements and pay-to-play schemes with China, Russia, and Burisma in Ukraine didn't happen? If so, he's got to say that. I believe this man, if he were a Republican or a conservative, would be full stop moment. He would be obligated to be having a press conference, answering questions on every one of these relationships. And there should be a demand in this country for full transparency from him about what precisely has been done here.
Yeah, and even more to your point, if it was a conservative or Republican of any kind, it would be even more than that, Michael, it would be a disqualifier, total disqualifier. If this is a scandal to the likes of what we have not seen, here they've been chasing their tail, trying to pin something on Donald Trump for all this time, and here it is, their cohort. We knew the Clintons were corrupt. We knew they had a crime family. We know they had the foundation. We know they were doing all kinds of things, selling out uranium, and they had their hands all over the world. world selling play for pray, but my golly, pay for play. But by golly, the Biden family, you think they may have the Clintons beat or what? Maybe, huh?
Well, I think they all learned quite a bit from each other. I saw the president said that Joe Biden's capabilities might make Hillary Clinton look like an amateur when it comes to trading in for cash. But I do believe that, you know, we can't have that in this country. And, you know, you and I talked about that on your show last week, the issue that when you know, especially now that you know this guy, you know, there with his drug addiction, he's engaged with you know, all these, you know, photos, some of which have come out, others that haven't. These are major issues. And unfortunately, I really don't believe Kristen Welker from NBC, who's going to moderate this last debate, has the political wherewithal or instincts to ask this question either. I mean, her family was really deep in Obama donors. They spent 2012 celebrating Christmas at the White House. She tipped, I knew, remember when I first heard of her when she tipped off Jennifer Palmieri with the Hillary Clinton's person during the 16 campaign on debate questions. I mean, she's another one of these individuals viewed as an activist by the Trump White House appropriately.
Well, that's all they ever have, as you and I talked about last week. Leftists as moderators. The right never pushes back. I questioned you last week on that, why they allow that to happen. I'm amazed every time, every 4 years, I shake my head in disbelief and dismayment that they get away with it again and again and again. And then we see what Scully just did, which we talked about that last week as well. We see what he just did this past week, admitted all it was a lie. And that's another crime on this whole industry.
At the end of the Presidential Commission on Debates.
Big time.
First to call it. I think they had their opportunity to try to bring some balance and reasonable dialogue to the American people at a critical moment. They failed completely in every one of these debates. Just, you know, and the second one that didn't even happen that should have happened. There's no reason it couldn't have happened except that these guys are, they go, well, it's bipartisan, but you look at every Republican on there is a never Trump guy. You know?
Well, well, that is a wrap here, my fellow Americans. We have done it again here. This race runs real fast. We're always looking for more time because there's so much to talk about and so much to express to you out there. It is always important to thank you for being with us on the mission here. Also to remind you that, again, as you know, all the Viewpoint shows go to podcast networks worldwide. You can get them anywhere on Stitcher, Spotify, iHeart Podcast, all the podcast networks, actually, Apple Podcast, of course, all of them. And importantly, it's right at the top of AmericaOutloud.com. Sunday afternoon goes to podcast. In the meantime, catch us on talk radio. Remember the two-hour block, Sunday mornings at 10 or later in the day at 6. We're, of course, 11 and 7 here with Viewpoint Presents with Michael Johns and in yours truly. But again, 6 to 8 later in the day and 10 to 12. Have coffee with us Sunday morning for a couple of hours and get up to speed on all that's going on. I know a lot of people out there have given up the legacy news and they listen to Viewpoint to get their news. I hear that all the time from folks. You're invited in and welcomed here as family. And you get our apps as well, by the way, Apple, Android, Alexa, as you know. We're on the fight here. It's all back at AmericaOutloud.com. A lot of things. Going to be a busy few weeks. We'll be with you every step of the way. Lots to talk about and lots to do. We'll keep you informed with the latest. Thank you again for being on the mission here. And it's time to get involved and get loud.